Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hello, hello, and welcome to the All or Something Living podcast, episode 26. I feel like I am losing track. I'm about to get in the 30s, you guys. This is crazy how fast this has gone by. So this week, we're going to talk about three ways that you can boost your confidence, and that way you can have a powerful presence wherever you go. So I didn't really learn about how to have confidence or how to convey confidence or how to even have a presence. Because one thing that I am told now often is that I have a presence. I walk into a room and I have a presence. It's partially because I'm tall. And then it's also because I learned without even realizing it, I learned how to be present when I was like 21 or 22. So I read this book by Marie Forleo called Make Every Man Want You. And this was the first time I ever actually learned how to convey confidence through body language and how to have a presence. And so I remember in the book, she talked about things like when you walk into a room, imagine that there's a string in the doorway. I don't remember. It was like 9 years ago when I read this, but you walk into a doorway and there's like a string and it pulls your head up. It sounds really weird. She said it way more sophisticated in her book. But anyway, you walk into a room and you stand up tall, you lift your chin, you just convey confidence whether you feel it or not. And so that was what propelled me into being more interested too. And actually, like, not just because we hear a lot, fake it until you make it, but I also wanted to learn how to have a deep, long-lasting confidence. I wanted to fake it until I made it, but how could I fake it and learn how to make it at the same time? And so maybe you struggle with confidence. If you're listening to this, then I imagine that you are. Maybe, I'm not sure exactly why you do struggle with confidence. Oh, for a lot of people, and this was my situation, you grew up in an environment where people told you that you weren't good enough. Like for me, I was teased a lot. I was teased for my weight, and so that followed me into adulthood. So maybe whatever reason that you were told or made to feel that you weren't good enough, it's followed you into your adult life. That's a really deep wound. That's something that stays with you. And it's so hard to reverse that and to turn that around and to really believe that you are worthy. But I believe that confidence is something that everybody deserves to have. And I guarantee you that you're worthy. Whether or not you realize that right now, I hope that you do realize it one day and hopefully one day soon. But you are worthy, and maybe your mind just hasn't caught up to that realization yet. So hopefully this episode can help you start to do that. Now, before we go into it, this episode is sponsored by the Confidence Boosting Worksheet. This is a worksheet that I've made for you to help guide you. It's made just for this episode, and it'll help guide you through ways that you can begin to feel more comfortable with yourself, more deeply confident, a deeply rooted, true confidence. So head to the show notes to grab a copy of this simple worksheet. Now, what I'm offering in this episode to you, because I did a quick Google search before I started to write the outline for this episode, and something I saw was a lot of like quick fixes, like lose weight, dress nice, you know, simple things like that. And I don't want to offer you a bunch of quick fixes that you're getting everywhere else. I really want to give you some actionable tools that, yes, they will take work, but they will be worth it because if you implement them, and again, it'll take time to do so, but just slowly implement them one at a time and they will give you genuine, long-lasting confidence. These are the best tips that have helped me improve my confidence tremendously. So The first tip is to deeply care for yourself. So you need to learn to treat yourself the same way that you would treat somebody that you really love. And this means nurturing yourself. If you weren't nurtured in any way, if you haven't been nurtured in any way in your life, then you might not know what this looks like. And it's going to be a matter of practice, and just, it starts with learning to listen to yourself. One of the best pieces of advice that I heard a few years ago was to imagine yourself as like a crying baby. When a baby cries, you do everything that you can to figure out what it is that they're wanting. So you change their diaper, you feed them, you try different things to see what will make them stop crying and what will satisfy them. And do the same with yourself. If you're noticing you're feeling emotional, you're feeling something, ask yourself, what do I need in this moment? And try out different things until you learn to listen to yourself. So for me personally, I feel most confident when I'm listening to what my body is telling me and my intuition. So when I'm working out, when I'm eating mostly healthy foods, when I'm sticking to promises that I make to myself and others, and I'm being as productive as possible while still making time for rest, that is when I feel confident, because I'm treating myself like a worthy person, so I'm seeing myself that way. So a trap that I fell into for way too long in my life is that I thought that being skinny would lead to confidence. So I spent most of my time trying different diets, trying different workout plans, and saying that, like always telling people, I have a long way to go, but I've lost this amount of weight and I am starting to feel more confident. But that confidence was built on such a shaky foundation, because the confidence would depend on what the scale was telling me that morning. It was based on like what my measurements were that morning, what my body size was. So it was a very fleeting kind of confidence. And so being skinny, and I've been there, didn't give me the confidence I thought that it would, because there is no there, first of all. I got skinny and I just wanted to get skinnier and skinnier and skinnier until I started to get extreme and developed an eating disorder. So the state of your body doesn't change the state of your mind. You have to put in the work to actually love yourself. Skinny is just a way that your body looks. It doesn't change who you are on the inside. And if you're anything like me and you were a chubby kid or a fat kid, then you'll still have that mentality. You'll always have that mentality until you do something to change the way that you see yourself, skinny or not. Whatever size your body is, what matters is how you feel about yourself and how you treat yourself. So many women have a goal to lose weight. They think that it will bring them the confidence they desire. And like I said, I felt the same way. But simply working out, making the effort to eat healthy, listening to your body, that's what is going to give you confidence. So for me, my body can stay the exact same, and I am going to lack confidence if I'm not taking care of it. But if I am taking care of it, I will be totally confident. So right now, I kind of went through something last year. I just pretty recently recovered from my eating disorder, and I went through a phase in my eating disorder recovery that pretty much everybody goes through. I guess it's maybe just specific to binge eating disorder, I'm not sure, but I went through this phase where it was called like the rebellious phase, where I was just like rejecting any idea of eating healthy and, you know, whatever. And so I started to gain weight and my thyroid started acting up, and it totally affected everything. Like, it affected my confidence and the way that I saw myself, and it was because I wasn't treating myself well. So now that I have gone back to school, I'm back in college now, and I started working out 5 days a week again. And I didn't weigh myself for over 2 years while I was in recovery. I was terrified to weigh myself. The first time that I weighed myself in that, actually, I think it was 3 years that I didn't weigh myself. I just weighed myself when I went to the doctor for the first time last year, the end of last year. And I was okay with it. I realized that I could see that number and not like die, not totally lose my confidence. So I saw what that number was. And then once I started working out again 5 days a week, it's been about 2 months now. And I decided to step on the scale in the gym just to see like if it changed since I went to the doctor last year. It hasn't changed at all. It's in fact like it fluctuates 1 pound up or down. And I, in the past, that would have crushed me. Like my confidence would have been gone. I would have been like, why am I even working out in the first place? What is this for? There's no purpose. But there is a purpose because I feel better. And it's not just about my confidence. Yes, it is about taking care of myself. But the point is, it didn't matter. It didn't impact my confidence what size or what number the scale was telling me. I felt good because I'm making the choice every day to go to the gym and take care of myself because I believe that I'm deserving and I'm worthy of treating my body and myself with respect. So start to shift your own habits if you want to change your level of confidence. So start to slowly implement working out. You don't have to do it 5 days a week like me. I've been working out for like consistently for over like 10 years now. So it's okay for me. But if you're just starting from, you know, ground zero, then implement exercise like 1 to 3 times a week, and that will be enough to boost your confidence. Start eating healthier. Start just respecting your body. Start practicing self-care more often. And when you notice yourself wanting to take the easy route, remind yourself of this deeper why. And then remind yourself of what happens to your confidence when you betray yourself too often, when you betray yourself by going against what your body is really asking for. So that's tip number one. Learn to deeply care for yourself, mind, body, and spirit. Number two is to watch how you speak to yourself. So do you even pay attention to the things that you're telling yourself on a daily basis? Because when I started to pay attention to the things that I was telling myself, I was shocked. I was really mean to myself and I was really hard on myself. So start to notice how you're speaking to yourself. And if you are being as mean to yourself as I was, don't freak out. Just the first step to being more kind and encouraging to yourself is to first just become aware of it. Become aware of it, start to notice it every time that it happens, and then interrupt the pattern when you notice it. Like there's multiple ways that you can do this. I've heard of people putting like a rubber band or hair tie around their wrist. And when you notice the thought, snap it on your wrist so that it like shocks you and gets you to notice what has just happened. Or you notice it and then you immediately are like, you force yourself to think of a compliment to counteract your rude or hurtful comment. So for example, if I say like something mean to myself, then I'll be like, okay, say something nice. Your hair looks really pretty today. And that might sound really superficial, but the idea is to interrupt the thought pattern so that you can create a new neural pathway in your brain. Sounded really smart there, but I don't even know if I said that correctly, but there is a science behind that of carving new neural pathways in your mind by interrupting the patterns and creating new patterns. And when you change the way that you speak to yourself, that will change the way that you feel about yourself. And again, that takes time, takes awareness, but it does work and it really, really helps build your confidence. So that was number two, learn to speak more kindly to yourself. And then number three is to learn to work with your anxiety. So a lot of people that I talk to, and I know a lot of you who listen to this podcast do struggle with anxiety, especially social anxiety. And I have personally struggled so much with social anxiety, which it's so funny because people, I think I've gotten so good at hiding it that people have told me that, like, what? No way. I still feel it a lot, but I've learned to work with it and to manage it. Some of the ways that I've done that is I've heard before to label it differently. So I heard this once on a podcast to just change what you call it, because we attach so much meaning to words. So instead of calling it anxiety, you can call it like Bob, or instead of calling it nerves, you can call it like Joby, like make up some word for it so that it takes the power of what you think it is away. Because your anxiety only has as much power as you give it. So, and then you can work on breathing exercises. So before you enter a social interaction that gives you anxiety, take 3 deep breaths and then set an intention. How do you want to show up? How do you want to serve? Like, how do you want people to see you? And then something that Chalene Johnson once taught me is that instead of thinking about yourself and how you're so worried about how you'll come across, think about how you want to make that other person feel. So come in with the intention, like, how do you want to make that person feel? And then release the stories that you tell yourself. So I turn red all the time. Like, when I'm nervous, my chest turns really red, and when I am nervous, I'm always thinking about, oh my God, is my chest turning red? Is my neck turning red? Are they noticing? And I'm just all up in my head and not even able to focus on what's going on. So do you turn red like I do, or do you have some similar reaction? And what story are you telling yourself about that if you do? Are you telling yourself that people are noticing, that people are judging you, etc.? And something that I did that helped is I just started to accept it and be okay with it. So if people would ask if I was nervous or if they would like comment on how I was turning red, I just started telling them that I am Irish and I turn red if I feel any sort of emotion, which is true. I can get excited and turn bright red. I just always do. So it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't completely give myself away. And plus, if you think about it, how many times have you encountered a nervous or anxious person? How long have you obsessed over how nervous they were? How many times did you think they were a total loser for being nervous? Probably never. Because first of all, you have sympathy for that person, especially if you relate to them and you understand them. Like, I've never felt like seen a nervous person and been like, what an idiot. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to help you not feel nervous because that sucks. Like, I'm not judging you. So people are so busy thinking about themselves and their own part in each interaction that they're not really analyzing you as much as you think they are, as much as you're analyzing yourself and going away. This is my worst habit. Going away from a conversation and literally replaying it over my head over and over again and like cringing at some of the stuff that I said. They're not thinking about that. They're probably off doing the same exact thing, cringing about the things that they said. So drop the story that you're making up and just be you and just let it be, which is all easier said than done, obviously. But just like with how you learn to speak to yourself, just start to become more aware, and then over time it will become easier to rewrite the story or to get out of your head and stay in the present moment with the people that you come in contact with. So to recap everything we've talked about in this episode, take good care of yourself. How you treat yourself is a reflection of how you want others to treat you. Be kind to yourself. If you can't be kind to yourself, then how can you expect others to be? And then let go of the stories that you make up about your anxiety or how you're showing up in social situations, etc. Before you go, don't forget to grab a copy of the confidence boosting worksheet in the show notes. And the all or something takeaway from this episode is to be okay with not always being super confident. It's okay to be awkward and clumsy, and that doesn't make you any less of a person. While you work on being more confident, just accept who you are and where you are at the present moment. Like, nobody is 100% confident all the time. Even the people that you think are most confident are sometimes faking it, and they just fake it really well. So just keep that in mind. And if you like this podcast, then please, I would love if you would leave me a review so that more people can benefit from the tips that I have to offer and what I have to share. Sharing is caring. And next week, we're going to talk about ways that you can come back from a setback. Now, as always, please remember that you are enough, and you, my friend, are doing enough.